Have you considered where you stand in regards to your faith? If you had a faith measuring stick, where do you think you would be on that particular faith measuring stick? Would your faith be a 10 or would your faith be a 1? And if you want your faith to be a 10, what can you do about it? Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and we're going to start by reading the middle of verse number 8. And here in the middle of verse number 8 of Luke chapter 18, Christ gives a summary of a parable that he had given about the persistence of a widow. And he asks a question, and there's a reason why he asks this particular question. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 8, in the middle of the verse, Christ asks this. He says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Will he really find faith on the earth when he returns the second time to this earth? Now, that's a very powerful question. Will there be faithful people when Christ returns? Will they hold up despite persecution, problems, and trials that can cause them to lose enthusiasm and lose their faith? Will the faith of disciples stand the long delays before the return of Jesus Christ? Now let's go back to verse number 1 and look at Luke's particular comment here. Verse number 1, as he introduces this parable, verse 1 says, "Then he," referring to Christ, "spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray," and notice, "and not lose heart." Not lose heart. In other words, not to faint, not to lose heart, and not to give up. So how can we, let me ask this question to all of us here today, how can we guard against losing heart, continue in faith until Jesus Christ returns, despite problems, persecutions, and trials? The title of today's sermon is Building Faith in Our Lives. Building faith in our lives. Today, let's examine a formula for building faith in our spiritual lives. Faith is something that we must live by. We must grow in. Faith can be built. And there is a formula for building it. It's actually a simple formula. And we know it. But we have to practice it and grow in it and use it in our lives. Although it is a simple formula, action must be taken, and it cannot be neglected. Let's go back to verse number 1, because Luke makes the comment here, which is part of this formula for building faith. "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." That's part of the formula of building faith, always praying. An important part of our spiritual lives, and a communication tool with the Father. We talk about that all the time in messages, that praying to God is one of our way of communicating to Him, and it's a part of growing spiritually. Let's continue on now with the parable. Luke makes the comment that Christ says we men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Verse number 2, saying, "There was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard man." This particular judge was a Roman appointed judge, one that the Romans appointed in the area of Palestine. And these particular Roman appointed judges expected bribes. That's what they expected from the people. If you wanted justice, you had to pay for it. You had to bribe them. And that's the type of judge that Christ is pointing out in this parable. Verse number 3, "Now there was a widow in that city," and as you've heard me tell many times before, most of the people in the time of Jesus Christ were poor. And if you were a widow, you were even worse off, you were more poor. So this particular widow lady was a poor lady. "Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him," came to the judge, "saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.'" So she comes to this Roman-appointed judge, and she's looking for justice. Now, he's going to be expecting a bribe from her. And notice the first part of verse number 4. It says, and he would not for a while. In other words, he didn't take any action at all because she didn't have the money to pay him. Continuing on, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. And notice, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Through this widow lady's persistence, she did receive justice. That was the one weapon, the only weapon that she had to get justice was coming back to that judge to the point he was wore out. And he says, okay, I'm going to rule on her behalf. And now we can connect this phrase here, continual coming, in the last part of verse number 5, her persistence, back to verse number 1, where it says, always ought to pray. In fact, I have a line drawn in my Bible here from continual coming back to always ought to pray. And that's part of this formula of building faith, is persistence in our prayer life. And you know how it is. When we go through times of trouble, when we go through issues, whatever it might be, our diligence wanes, our persistence wanes, and we're not communicating with the Father that we ought to be, the way that we ought to be doing. So continual prayer, continual coming reflects back to always ought to pray. Continuing on then, verse number 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Verse number 7. And shall God not avenge his own elect, talking about you and I as elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. So to sum up verse number 7, if a corrupt judge will respond to a continual request of a widow, God will certainly respond to the continual prayers of the elect, of believers, when we persistently come before him with whatever needs that we have. Verse number 8, Christ sums this up and says, and I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. God will come on our behalf. Then he asks the question, nevertheless, because times are going to get difficult before he returns, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will there be people really building up their faith through persistent prayer, in other words? And the persistence of the widow is the lesson of this parable. Our persistent prayer life is a lesson in building and growing in faith. I'd like to read what the Life Application Study Bible adds to this section. It says this, always praying means keeping our requests constantly before God as we live day by day, believing he will answer. When we live by faith, we are not to give up. God may delay answering, but his delays always have good reasons. As we persist in prayer, we grow in character, faith, and hope. And that's the lesson of this particular parable that Christ gave. Persistence in prayer as a way of growing in faith. And we've got to learn that lesson, and we've got to apply it, especially as times get difficult. You heard me mention during the announcements today about the brethren in Latin America, the tough times they're going through. And it's prophesied that all the world is going to go through those kind of situations before Christ returns. Thus, we have to be growing in faith and persistence in our prayer. Now, this particular parable concerns all disciples throughout the ages, from the time that Christ gave it in the first century A.D., but the focus is on the elect remnant, just before Jesus Christ returns. And that could be you and I. So related to this parable, talking about the elect remnant before Christ returns, there are important questions to be asked. Will faith of the disciples withstand the long delays of his return? When we talk about long delays, we're talking about time going on and on and on. Some of us that have been attending church for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, it's been a long time, hasn't it? Will our faith continue on? That's what we need to ask. Will there be faithful people who have persisted in prayer, persisted in spiritual growth, and not lost hope before Christ returns. So to sum up this parable, Christ was encouraging disciples, encouraging you and I to continue in prayer without losing heart, even during difficult times, waiting for Christ's return, and don't give up. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. This is a section of scripture where the apostle Paul was giving exhortations to the brethren and exhortations to us as brethren as well, as disciples. First Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. The apostle Paul writes and says this, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." Verse 2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." In other words, it's going to come unexpectedly. The world is not going to be expecting the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." Verse number 4, "But you, brethren," and that includes each and every one of us, "are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." Spiritually aware and doing those things that we need to be doing, spiritually speaking. And then the Apostle Paul goes on here in verse 5 and going on, giving many exhortations that brethren need to be doing to be spiritually aware. Let's drop down to verse number 17 now and notice this exhortation. He says this, "Pray without ceasing." In other words, persistence in prayer, just like the parable that we read in Luke chapter 18. That's what brethren need to be doing so that Christ's return does not come upon us like a thief in the night. "Pray without ceasing," in verse number 18, "in everything give thanks." So thankful for the blessings, not only physical blessings like we are going to be partaking of later on in our annual Thanksgiving meal, but especially for the spiritual blessings that God has given to us, the knowledge of His truth, and the knowledge of His plan of salvation for all of mankind. "Pray without ceasing and in everything, giving thanks to Him." Persistence in prayer. And that's one of the key formulas to grow in faith, especially as we approach those difficult times. Let's go, since we're so close, to Hebrews chapter 11, forward just a few pages. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, and let's take a look at the definition of faith as given here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, if you're looking for a definition of faith, verse number 1 is it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, it says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The things that are hoped for and not seen. Things not seen. Like the kingdom of God. We know we can read Bible prophecy, the prophecy in not only the Old Testament, but the New Testament of the kingdom of God, how wonderful it will be, but we can't actually see it today. What we see is this world around us that we're living in. But we do hope for it, and we pray for it, and we want it to come. And that's faith, building faith when we hope for that, especially diligently speaking. It's promised, we can't see it, but we know God will perform it. And Jesus Christ will return to this earth. And all the corruption that we see around in the earth, you know, as we, like I mentioned in the announcements, the things that are going on in Latin America and other parts of the world are finally going to come to an end. Christ is going to set up His government in Jerusalem and we'll finally have peace on this planet. That's what we hope for. And we build our faith with that hope. Faith is not wishful thinking. It's living active faith and it's confidence that God can and will intervene in our lives. Confidence that God will intervene in our lives. The kind of confidence that Abraham had. Remember a sermon that I gave here not too long ago? And we went to Genesis chapter 22. We're not going to turn there now. But remember, God told Abraham to take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him as a living sacrifice. Abraham obeyed willingly, took his son, gathered up the wood together, the animals. They made their journey towards that mountain where he was going to sacrifice him. And what did he tell the men that were left behind with the animals? He said, stay here and wait, and we will return. He knew, even though that God had told him to sacrifice your son, that God would intervene in some way in that particular situation. And of course, you know the story. God did. God did intervene. And that's living active faith, the kind of faith that we need to be displaying in our lives, confidence that God will intervene. It's also a deep conviction that God cares for us and will always act with our best interests at heart. Sometimes it can be a delayed answer. God is in control. He knows what's best for us. But God will act with our best interests at heart. And that's faith, living faith. Now, it's one thing to understand and define faith, like we just did, but it's another thing to actually live it. We must realize that faith can grow. It can start small and become bigger. And it becomes bigger by practicing it. We have to practice it in our lives. But we can ask God to help us, especially by means of the Holy Spirit, to grow in that faith that we need, especially as these troubled times come upon this world. Romans chapter 1. Faith can grow, and we can ask God to help us in that growth. Romans chapter 1. Let's read verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. The Apostle Paul says this to the brethren in Rome and to us as well as brethren. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Power from God from those who believe. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. Verse 17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed, notice, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Notice this phrase, from faith to faith. That's talking about from one level of faith to another. That it's a growing process. Growing spiritually in faith. Faith to faith means faith is at the beginning of the salvation process, and it's the goal as well. Kind of faith that we go on and we live by, especially in our spiritual lives. Notice this phrase, the just shall live by faith. The Apostle Paul quoted that from the book of Habakkuk, and he's talking about a person in a right relationship that lives by faith. And live is the key word here. A growing faith that starts out small and continues to grow. So, as we've talked about, faith is something that grows, and prayer is one of those keys to grow in faith, persistent type of prayer. What's another key to grow in faith? And again, as I said, these are actually simple things that we know, but we have to practice. We know persistent prayer is one of the keys to growing in faith. What about another key? Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17 for the answer. Romans 10, verse 17. Here's another key to growing in faith. Very important, so very important, but it has to be practiced. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing how? By the word of God. By God's word. By putting our noses into our daily study of God's word. Faith grows, and that's where it comes from. Not only our personal Bible study, but what we're doing here today when we come to Sabbath services. So important that we're learning and growing and understanding more of God's word. When we go to the feasts and the holy days that we keep. Growing in faith, learning from God's word. So our faith is exercised. It grows and is exercised by our own personal study and what we do when we come to services and applying it in our lives. Going back to the parable of the persistent widow, you know, continually coming at that corrupt judge to get justice, she was persistent, and Christ used that example to to be persistent in prayer for a faithful disciple. Our persistence in learning God's word helps us to grow in faith. It's something that we can apply and grow in. Romans chapter 15, just a few pages forward, verse number 4. Romans 15 and verse number 4. For whatever things were written before, you know, all these examples that we have here in the Bible, like I mentioned, Genesis chapter 22, that very wonderful example of Abraham's faith. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope by learning and understanding those examples and applying them in our lives so that we can increase in our faith and our hope. Lessons that we learn, knowledge that we gain. So many people in the world today have no hope. They don't even know why they're alive, what they're doing on this planet, what the billions of people are doing. But we do. And we have hope. And we understand that because of our study of God's word. It says here, comfort of the scriptures that we might have hope, focusing on the kingdom of God, especially when we go through our times of trouble and tribulation. I like what the Life Application Study Bible adds. It says this, the knowledge of the scriptures affects our attitude toward the present and the future. The more we know about what God has done in years past, the greater confidence we have about what he will do in the days ahead. Again, to give us hope. And there are many examples of living faith in the Bible that can teach us, encourage us, and help us to understand how to have living faith. And they're written in Hebrews chapter 11, so many examples of those faithful people in the scriptures. And we get that from applying God's word in our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, this is going to be a shorter sermon because we have the Bible study to follow. 2 Timothy chapter 2, one more scripture regarding our study of God's word as a means of growing in faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. The Apostle Paul writing to young Timothy, who is going out to preach the gospel message himself, he says this, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Now, if you're reading in the original King James, it says, study to show yourself approved. Be diligent, it says in the New King James, because that's what we need to be doing as brethren and as elect. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that rightly dividing the word of truth literally means opening it up, understanding, and applying it in our lives. And that's what we can be doing on a daily basis. Be diligent in our study of God's word. And as I mentioned earlier, over time, that diligence can wane. You know, reflecting back on our lives, and I think each and every one of us can do that. We can think back on those times when we had those down moments where we weren't doing what we knew we should be doing. But we can get back up at any time and get on fire again. And that's something that we can ask God to help us with too. Over time, diligence can wane. Trials and problems can cause us to lose focus. But it's so important to get back on track again. We can ask God to give us that enthusiasm like we first had when God called us and we were on fire. Give me that fire again. Give me the heart to regain focus so that I can grow in faith and have that faith when Jesus Christ returns, to continue in the growing process and increase in our faith. What a wonderful thing it is to ask God for that help. Finally, let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We'll begin reading in verse 14. We can summarize this parable, and that's what I'm going to do, about applying it to spiritual growth in our lives. Matthew chapter 25. And let's begin reading in verse number 14. The parable of the talents, one that we know well. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man, and Christ was referring to himself here, traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now he's using a physical example here of actually giving somebody's physical talents to grow with, but the spiritual applications for each and every one of us. What we're going to do with what he gives us, spiritually speaking. Who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Verse 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. But he's going to return. He's going to return. He gave talents. And when we talk about talents here, we're talking about spiritual talents. And each individual has to make that grow. Verse 16, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. He grew, spiritually speaking. And that's what we want to be doing. Verse 17, and likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. You know, some of us have more talent in specific areas than others, but whatever talent that we receive, we can make grow with God's help. And that's what we want to be doing. Verse 18, but he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. In other words, he didn't make anything grow here, spiritually speaking. He just put it aside in a way. Verse 19, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And notice verse 20 and 21. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And verse 21, and I'm going to conclude here, he said this. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Brethren, I think those are words that each and every one of us as disciples want to hear from Jesus Christ. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were persistent in your prayer. You were persistent in the study of God's word. You had talents that I gave you and you made them grow. And you grew in faith. Well done, good and faithful servant. I will make you ruler over many things. And then these wonderful words to hear. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The faithful shall be rewarded. It is something that we can be encouraged by. Seek to perfect. And cause our faith to continually grow with God's help. So a couple questions we can ask ourselves as we close here today. As times get tough and persecution begins, will you lose heart? When Christ returns, will he find faith in you? God promises to be there for us if we diligently seek him. So brethren, let us strive to develop in our faith in our lives by seeking God persistently in prayer and learning from his word and thereby focusing on the kingdom of God so that he truly can find faith in us when he returns.